Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schlankhofer, where we talk about all things civil defense. Civil defense is about building community resiliency by becoming better informed, prepared, and organized to meet whatever disaster might affect you, your neighborhood, and your community. There are many threats on the horizon, yet we cannot rely on true and accurate media coverage of many of these issues. These threats are propagated from the mainstream media seeking to tell only one side of the story. In fact, this propagation can even be considered biased propaganda. This is a legitimate threat to you, your family, and our nation, and here on Civil Defense Radio, we seek the facts that others leave out. Remember, your tomorrow may depend on today's preparedness. Now, here is your host, Preston Schlankhofer.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Civil Defense Radio. I am your host, Preston Schlankhofer, coming to you from the Strategic Command and Control Center, deep within the Civil Defense Radio bunker. This world is getting crazier and crazier with this Chinese biological attack on the world. The Marxists in America are dividing us not only by race, class, sex and sexual orientation, and political affiliation, but also by vaxxed or unvaxxed. America could never be beaten from the outside. The Chinese realized this fact when they witnessed our forces in action during Operation Desert Storm in Iraq. They used this knowledge to work on degrading our social and political environment by working with our domestic enemies, mainly within the Democrat Party. Make no mistake, those seeking totalitarian power over our lives are not just Democrats, but also Republicans and independents with a globalist agenda. This illegal administration with 46, I refuse to call him by his fake title, at the helm is working hard to silence and target their only opposition, the patriotic American citizens, many of which are current and former military and law enforcement. Their use of the staged false flag actions at the Capitol on January 6, 2021 are just some of the treasonous works of these scumbags. They will smear, malign, and tag as domestic terror threats anyone who stands in their way, even concerned parents. Parents speaking out about the curriculum and types of deviant and pornographic books in their children's schools are now considered domestic terrorists, threats to our democracy, according to this current administration, who is directing the FBI to investigate these same parents. Don't be fooled. There is not a threat to this nation from the right, the America-loving patriots, but only from the Marxist, socialists, whatever they want to call themselves, of the left and the globalists, one and the same, who are working to take complete control of our nation and us. The current $3.5 trillion spending package being negotiated in the Senate is nothing but fundamental transformation, quote-unquote, of our nation, as promoted by the former Marxist in the White House, BHO. Matter of fact, I think he is the power behind this idiot that's pretending to be 46 because he's not even smart enough and lucid enough to think on his own. Be sure that if this bill is passed, in whatever form it is finally agreed upon, our freedoms will be severely curtailed and the surveillance state will have been paid for. Freedom does not require an ID card that proves you are vaxxed or not. If you must carry a card like that or a digital passport showing your jab status, you are no longer free. Our nation is dying a more rapid death than what many of us suspected just 8 years ago. My best advice is to stock up, group up, and train up. And stocking up means get some guns and ammo because you're going to need it. Because when the left releases their Antifa mob again and BLM, there's going to be a lot of strife, and you want to be ready. So as we head towards the end of freedom as we currently know it, my best advice is to stock up, group up, and train up as we head towards the end of freedom as we currently know it in the world with the death of the United States of America and as the new socialist states of America rises from the pit of hell. And with that great news forecast, here is our guest for this episode of Civil Defense Radio. I assure you, this conversation is much more fun and upbeat. And help me welcome Bjorn Simonsson to Civil Defense Radio. Hello, Bjorn. How you doing?
Hey, Preston. Thanks for having me on the show.
It's great having you again. I look forward to our conversation today, but also, we communicate every once in a while back and forth in between last show and this one, and I look at you as a friend and a colleague, because we share so many things in common, and one of them is the source of our conversation today, which is InfraGuard. I'm also an InfraGuard member and a member of the National Disaster Resiliency Council, NDRC. So, matter of fact, I've had Mary Lasky on the show before, and we've talked about it. And so, I'm looking forward to our conversation on this. So, before we get started, can you give our listeners who may not have heard the issue or the episode with you on it before, can you give us a brief recount of your background besides being a product developer?
Sure. And someone who's concerned with the future. It's great to talk to you again. Yeah, I'm definitely on your same page. My background is, yes, I am a product development guy. I've been working on innovations and startups for the past close to 20 years, just under that. It's an amazing field to be in, where you see the problems that face you in the future, and then you invent solutions to solve them. And one of the things that we've been working on for the past about 5 years, I guess now, I think we started in 2016 as an idea, and we are going to market right now. We've been developing a solution to the world water crisis. So that's kind of what I'd like to share with you about today, because we're going to market with it right now.
Yeah, let's hear about it.
So I guess as far as context is concerned, there's the old saying that says, may you live an exciting time.
Yeah.
Check. Got that one under control.
That's for sure.
With regard to InfraGuard and National Disaster Resilience Council, yes, I'm a member of those two organizations also. For those who may not be, I'm sure most of your listeners are going to be familiar with those, considering this is called Civil Defense Radio, for crying out loud. But for those who haven't, that is the group of people who woke up one day and said, hang on a second, what happens if the power goes out for more than 24 hours, right? Like, what are we facing as far as a society, and can I do anything about it? Can I wake people up? Can I invent and innovate new solutions to be proactive and a solutions-oriented person in what might be an uncertain future? And that's my loose paraphrase for what all those things mean. So we all get together and say, we discuss topics such as, grid failure, cybersecurity, and things going wrong. And then what can we do about it? How can we invent stuff to solve those issues? Fair enough.
Well, that's great. Yeah. It sounds like a couple other organizations that I'm a member of, like the EMP Task Force on National Homeland Security, headed by Dr. Peter Vincent Pry, and the Secure the Grid Coalition.
Yep.
So, InfraGuard is an important and integral part of these organizations that I just mentioned, because we're all cross pollinated in various organizations, and so that's what makes the association so strong, by being by having friends in various places and different organizations that are working towards the same goal. We are able to come up with all these different ideas, and sometimes we're talking about the problem a lot, but it's because we run into a lot of roadblocks in the fixing of these things, because the power industry has deep pockets, and they like to put those big dollars that they have into the pockets of politicians. And so that kind of stymies our ability to work towards a more secure grid. But let's hear about some of the things that the InfraGuard and the National Disaster Resilience Council are working on, and your initiative that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I don't want to pretend that I speak for them. I'm just a part of them. I'm a small guy in a big pond. But you know what myself and my team have been really focusing on is, you know, proactive solutions. If you have the energy, water, and food nexus under control, you've got a resilient community. You should maybe add communications to that too. But you know, how can we network our energy, water, and food systems to the local environment so that when the power does go off, you know, you're not hampered by a logistics situation, right? So and since we last spoke, the storm is proving to be quite an opportunity to dance with the earthquake indeed. Right? So, you know,
yeah.
And I just look at it like this, you know, as much as it's been crazy to see how many things are in absolute upheaval, I'm extremely grateful to say that it's encouraging to see that people are waking up right and left. I'm sure you see this too. And seeing that the old world that we used to be able to count on is no more, as much as whatever that looks like, you know? So people everywhere, thankfully, people everywhere are beginning to think and getting more resilient, more prepared, more skeptical. I mean, they're stocking up on toilet paper at Costco, right on. You know, because
they need more than that, though.
Yeah, exactly. But the
they need a bucket. They need all kinds of stuff.
You got it. You know, but people. I mean, what's good? I think that we need to be encouraged and to foster is that people are increasingly becoming skeptical of the official narrative, and I would argue that's a good thing because you can fall asleep at the wheel real easy otherwise. You know.
Well, you know, if you rely too much on the government, then they have more control over you than what you really intend to
totally
give them.
Yeah.
So the more resilient and self-sufficient we are, the less we have to rely on our local and state and federal government
100%.
For assistance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's great that, you know, more and more people are becoming encouraged to take proactive direct action to protect their families and friends and communities in the increasingly uncertain times.
Yeah. Yeah. It's important to have that understanding that the individual or the family nucleus is the main level of important preparedness. And then it goes out from there in the circle. It goes, you know, family, neighborhood, community, city, county, state, things like that.
Amen.
And so that's the way it has to be built.
Yep.
There's a graphic on our website at civildefenseradio.com that is from the 50s, and it shows that very, very well.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, more and more people are rising to the surface, right? Everybody kind of hunkered down and didn't know where to, kind of which way to go or whatever, but you know, I see more and more American flags up in my neighborhood. That's awesome, right? People are rising to the surface. They're standing up, awakening others. We got to lead our communities from within, right? So I would encourage you, the listener, if you're hearing this message, it means you now have a duty to wake others up around you.
Amen to that.
Right? Look, that was in bold italics and underlined, just in case you're wondering.
And highlighted.
And highlighted.
In green.
Yeah.
means go.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, maybe I presume you agree here, right? But you know, what we've learned from the past year and a half is that in a certain degree, America is going through a rebirthing process. And, you know, I think that as if you really shake the tree and you look at it, you know, kind of like in fallout situations, it becomes increasingly obvious that you got to think locally instead of globally, right? As the key to the future, from a resilience standpoint, certainly. And we got to sit there and reflect in the fact that, as we're now seeing in the industrial sector, cars, buying anything. Have you noticed that supply chains are broken?
Yes.
Right? I mean, you got to think, wait a second. If the supply chain's broken for, I mean, my friend around the corner, his refrigerator died. And he sent me a text saying, hey, by the way, if you need a new fridge, put in your order right now. It's taking me 3 weeks to get a replacement refrigerator. Hmm. That ain't good.
Yeah, there's hundreds of container ships sitting in the port of Los Angeles that's waiting to unload.
Yeah.
And he can't get a fridge.
Right.
It might be on there.
Yeah. But yeah, if you take that as a micro example of a macro problem, right, what we got to do is reflect that the way of life that we've gotten used to, I mean, you got food delivered to your door, you've got just-in-time delivery, you've got Amazon that you can send. I mean, any random thing you think of can be at your house in 24 hours. So it's this, we've become entirely dependent on international just-in-time logistics, which unfortunately is powered by an increasingly fragile and unreliable electrical grid. Just look at Louisiana right now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And Texas back, what was it, November or something like that. Can't remember when that exactly
that
happened.
That was February, I think. Yeah. It was.
February, yeah, okay.
But then, you know, you kind of see these little blips on the radar, like Lake Mead, which powers the Hoover Dam, is at like, I think it was 20% capacity. So, I mean, your neighbors don't necessarily think in terms of the fact that a lot of your power is coming from these systems, which are, you know, for one, they're almost 100 years old. But two, if you have a major drought like we do in the western half of the U.S., hydropower is now in question, right? So,
yeah,
I mean, I think the numbers are 98% of western USA is in drought and 64% of it's under extreme drought conditions. So, you know, we got some issues coming our way. So we got to think proactively and harness innovation, you know, which is where we came from a water, you know, solution standpoint. So we gotta get the word out, dude. Let's do this.
Yeah, yeah. So besides getting the word out, what kind of solution do we have?
Yeah. Okay. So good question. So circling back to energy, water, and food for everybody listening. So as you all know, a stable, reliable society depends on three things: energy, water, food. If you got those, you're gonna be okay for a while, right? And what I'm happy to, I mean,
now, well, let's clarify that by having it.
Yeah.
Having it available by turning on the tap, or having it available by being able to boil and filter water that you pick up out of the creek or the mud puddle.
Yeah.
That there's two different things there.
Yeah. No. Totally. Yeah. Good point. So we have a stable society for the moment, because we have stable energy, because we have stable water from the tap, and because we have stable food in the grocery stores. So
right.
As far as like things that, you know, InfraGuard and stuff talk about is, what if you don't, right? What if those three things or one of them fails, what are your backup systems and backup plans? And if you can think in terms of innovation that allows you to have a local backup plan for those three items, that's what gives you the key to a resilient community. So those are the technologies that I'm fascinated with, right? How do you make alternative energy? And by alternative, sure, you can have, you know, look at solar panels and Tesla walls in your garage, right? If, you know, I did my master's degree about, oh, I guess 17 years ago now, I'm dating myself. But I looked at the grid saying, you know, sustainable mobility. I was looking at tying electric cars and fuel cells into the houses so that you'd have a portable power backup system that could go back to the grid in times of brownout or peak load demands. And so what we've been doing at Molecule is looking at that same type of application for water, that if you can create a water technology that allows you to feed back into the grid in times of a drought or a water challenging issue, you've then buffered that grid as well. Mm-hmm. Makes sense? So mm-hmm. we've developed technology that allows you to generate water down to 12% relative humidity and down close to 0 degrees Fahrenheit, which is, and it's number one, the most efficient atmospheric water generator in the world with the widest operating range. And so what we're now doing from an innovation standpoint is connecting with alternative energy suppliers like closed loop geothermal, which is amazing green energy source. RTEC is a sustainable water solution. And then if you put those two together and you grab a warehouse or 40-foot containers or whatever, you can make indoor vertical farming, aeroponic farming, which is like five times more efficient than outdoor. And you can grow organic heirloom food. Bam, you put those three into play, you have a turnkey actionable solution that you can bring to your county supervisor, your governor, your Senate representative, whoever, and just say, look, there's a solution to keeping our community safe so that we're not the next ERCOT. You know, we're not the next Louisiana power down. We're not at the mercy of Lake Mead right now. We have a backup system when we have to do it now. And it's actually pretty cheap. You can do it, you know, in a very cost-effective manner, and it's permanent. So let's do that.
So you mentioned aeroponic.
Yeah.
Is that different than aquaponic?
Yeah, they're kind of the same, you know, but aeroponic farming is like aquaponics and hydroponics. It's a different variant. I'm not in those guys' field, so you have to talk to them directly, but yeah.
Okay.
That's the solution. We can make you the water, you grow the food extremely efficiently. The food is now local to your urban environment. Things go down. If you have food and water and power locally, you can avoid unplanned mass migration, which is what, you know, would be a major challenge in the event that you have a systemic blackout.
Yes. And that is a threat to the rural areas too, because
yeah.
it would be like locusts rolling through a field of, you know, a garden
yeah.
and eating up everything in its sight.
Yeah.
There's a document on our website at civildefenseradio.com/resources. And it's an older document, but it's still relevant. It talks about the mass migration out of the urban areas into the rural. And it is, when I read that, I was enlightened as to how bad it could really be.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the zombie apocalypse. I mean, that would be like the zombies coming to take all of your food and medical supplies and leaving disease behind.
Yeah, I don't think that would go over, you know, very well.
Not necessarily, but it's something that a lot of people don't think about. And you know, I've brought it up to my county board of supervisors and a few other people, the emergency manager, who hadn't really thought the issue through. They thought they were going to send all of our sheriff's deputies down to the highway and help direct traffic, until I pointed out a few other things, like who's going to take care of the security and safety of the rest of the community if all the sheriff's deputies are occupied at the highway.
Right.
Who told you that? That's not, you know, they backtracked real quick.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things to think about.
Right.
And so what you're bringing up is important.
Yeah.
Is very important for, you know, HOAs to think about.
Yes.
For farmers to think about, for city dwellers to think about, especially people living in high-rise apartment complexes. How will things affect you, especially? You know, there's this guy out there has a YouTube channel. It's Urban Prepper. He's got a lot of great information, but he, in a way, as far as I'm concerned, he's missing things because he expects to hunker down. Well, hunkering down has its benefits up until a point.
Right.
And You know, you always have to have a plan A, which is hunker down, a plan B, which is, you know, getting out, and a plan C, which is going even farther. So you got to have, you got to have coordination. You got to have pre-positioning. There's a lot into this preparedness planning.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you're bringing up is important, and it can fit into some of these other what if plans. And that's exactly what we need to do on the community level, is to have these what ifs. You know, we don't need to worry about being afraid to talk about things. We should talk about things so that we have a better idea of where things can go in the worst of environments.
Yeah.
But at the same time, how it's like, you know, I was a martial artist for a long time, and I spent a lot of time in law enforcement and military.
Yeah.
So I was trained by the best in my weapons handling, and I consider myself very, very good. So it's, you know, when you draw your pistol from the holster, mm-hmm. and you present it towards the target, that there's a lot of things that go into that motion. And without practice like that, you don't get to hit the target.
Yeah.
Whereas if we don't talk about these important issues of preparedness, we won't hit the target, which is survival.
100% agree. I mean, you got to have a stomach for it, but I think you need to be proactive. I agree with you completely. You know, training is everything, going through, you know, what if scenarios, and then actually practicing them. You know, my sport has been surfing since I was a kid, and I've surfed huge waves the size of houses and stuff. I don't do it anymore, but I mean, my brother used to surf Mavericks, right? And I cannot describe to you the intensity of a 20-foot wave bearing down on you and what it's like to get hit by that thing. Like, you, unless it's happened to you, you cannot possibly fathom it. It's like getting hit by a garbage truck on the freeway, right? Mm. But in a certain sense, for me, that was integral to thinking through these kind of things. Because when you're going to be putting yourself in that position, you better train for it or you're going to die, you know? And the same thing can be said for thinking through, you know, bad situations. Like, I got drawn into this civil defense thing because I'm supposed to be dead right now. I was supposed to be in Windows of the World, I think it was the name of the restaurant, at the top of the Twin Towers on 9/11 in 2001.
Oh, wow.
With my cousin, having breakfast before going to see the floor of the New York Mercantile Exchange, where he was the trader for natural gas. True story. You want validation? I'll give you his phone number. I got it.
No, that's fine.
I was coming back from Europe. I got this chill through my spine, and I called my travel agency and said, I can't do the layover in Newark. Can you get me straight back to LAX? They did. It was a $50 change fee or something. Woke up the next morning watching that happen. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be there right now. So, you know, dodging that bullet because my guardian angels are like, nope, time's not up yet, bro. But if you take that one little micro, and then to your point, there's an awesome book written by a legend. It's called The Dark Secrets of SHTF Survival. It's very graphic, but it's the subtitle is The Brutal Truth About Violence, Death, and Mayhem You Must Know to Survive by Selko Begovic.
I've read it. I have it right here on my shelf.
I got it right here in front of me. Yeah, it's the Balkan War of the 90s in a city under siege. So to your point, that guy who said he's going to hunker down in the city, I would argue he needs to have a separate plan. That may be fine for 72 yeah. hours, but he's got to get out of there, you know, because yeah. The book is very, very, very on point.
Yeah, I had Selko on the show. So
really?
If you're interested in listening to it, people, my friends out there, just go back in the archives on civildefenseradio.com under podcast or your favorite podcasting app. So yeah, Selko was great. And we were planning on doing another episode, but some things got in the way. and we've not been able to get back to it.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, a friend of mine, well, you know Jonathan Hollerman.
Yeah, he's a buddy of mine.
He recommended it. Yeah, he recommended it, and so I ordered it right away, and I'm glad I did, because, and that's not his only book. He's got a number of them out there,
yeah.
And they are just as enlightening, and so I recommend his books highly.
Yeah, he's the same guy who recommended the book to me too. It's funny. <Yeah. laughs> He's like, you got to read this one. I said, okay.
Yeah. But Silko lived it. So, and that's what we have to do, is we have to learn from these people who have lived and survived these types of incidents. And it's just imperative that we plan and prepare.
Yep.
It's stupid if we don't.
Well, but yes, absolutely true. I mean, I have two very good friends of mine. They're a married couple. He's from Peru and she's from Latvia. And you know, we've all been talking, they're just like, yep, we've seen this before. There's a reason we left our countries when we did, and now it's here. So, you know, keep your head on a swivel, you know, make sure you're good. Make sure your faith is very, very, very true, because God's on your side. Don't forget that. It's very important.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. So, do you have anything that you want to sum up with here real quick?
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. So what I would like everybody to know, is that you can email me at any time. My email address is Bjorn, Bjorn, at molecule.us. And what I would like to offer to everyone is that we at the company I'm one of the co-founders of is called Molecule USA Incorporated. And we have designed and are building an instant reliable source of pure water that gives you 50 gallons a day of clean drinking water anywhere, anytime, all the time, which is perfect for indoor farming, for subterranean shelters, for, you know, converting a warehouse into a farm, you know, taking your house a bit off grid. If you're an off grid house, this is a turnkey solution. You don't need a well. All you need is electricity, and you have water resilience right there on the spot. It's great for your community, your church, industrial warehouses and stuff. And just call me up and I can start getting quotes going, because we've got to get these things out there right this second to make sure that our communities are resilient.
Yes. No, that's a good idea. And I commend you and your company for doing this, because this was a piece that has been missing for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so
we're making these also for mobile platforms too. So we're talking with some of the, you know, if you're in the defense industry and you want a mobile solution, we can do vehicle integrations, you know, drop them from helicopters, airframe platforms, whatever. But the need is huge. I mean, I was on a security grid call last week, and it was a look up FERC docket EL21-99-000 filed by Michael Mabee, the man, the myth, the legend. So that is something that everybody needs to pay attention to, because near peer actors are in our grid. That means the lights can turn out anytime. This isn't a,
yes,
20 years from now, get ready. This is like, at any second, you better be on point, right? Time to training is now.
Yes, that's true. So prepare, group up, train up, and stock up, as Jeffrey Prather has so famously said.
Yeah.
So Bjorn, thank you very much for being on the show. And it was a pleasure talking to you again. Civil defense equals resiliency equals survival. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem. To be resilient, it takes preparation, organization, and training to meet the needs of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. Civil defense helps reduce panic in a disaster, and this is why we strongly recommend establishing a community-based civil defense organization in your city or county in partnership with your local emergency manager and community leaders. Let's start the conversation with the guide found on our resources page at civildefenseradio.com, right at the top of the page. Be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio, on Telegram at Civil Defense Radio Channel, which I love that channel. It's so there's so much information there. But please check out our sites there. MeWe, I post every once in a while, and our YouTube channel. I have most of the items we post are important information about the many threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. However, when I find something funny, I will post that also. So please consider this information and use it wisely. I wish to thank our guest again, Bjorn Simonsen, and I'd like to thank you, our friends and listeners out there who are all over the world, and we thank you for your support. I really appreciate you being with us this week. So please, be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you and keep you until next time.